Ahoy there, landlubbers! Whispers in the Sea is an actual play series drawing elements from stories of fantasy horror, political drama, and swashbuckling action and adventure pirate stories. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
Ahoy there, sailors, and welcome to another episode of Tales Yet Told, an actual play podcast dedicated to telling weird and fun stories full of imagination, thoughtful characterization, and inclusivity. I am your most humble of game masters, captains, and, call me Skipper today. I'm Kendrick or Kendo, whichever you prefer. I use the he pronouns. Wait, did I do that again? Did I do that a second time?
Unsure.
Did I loop? I feel like I looped.
It's on brand. It's on brand. It's the time episode.
I'm doing. Oh, was this a loop? Has it always been a loop?
The time loop.
The time dive?
Hey, audience, you're going to get to the end of this episode and think this was recorded afterwards because we knew what had happened.
Oh, my God.
But I guarantee you, only I know.
Oh, no.
And with me today are my most humble and best crew a captain could ask for, Gus.
What? Yeah. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm here. I'm present. I'm ready to play some tabletop role-playing games. Hi, my name is Gus. I use he, him pronouns. And I'm playing Felix, who is good. Guys, we're all going to die, right? We're all going to die.
It might not be death that lies ahead of you.
Yeah, it could be worse, yeah. It could be something significantly worse than death that lies ahead.
Yeah.
You said I should be excited about that?
How attractive is death going to look this session, yeah?
Yeah. Some things are preferable to death.
Yeah.
Or wait.
Kmart.
No, some things...
You were right.
Death is more preferable... Some things are more preferable than death? No, because that means
you know who else is preferable to death.
You know who else is preferable to death? Hilda.
Wow. I've never received a better compliment in my life.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Hilda. I'm Hilda. I use she, her pronouns. I accept better compliments in the future. I will be playing Avery, per usual, who uses he, him pronouns. Avery's fine. He hasn't taken any damage yet. We're going to get everybody out of here fine, and everything's going to go good.
Yeah, Avery's sitting pretty over there with his harp and his books.
That makes it sound like he's literally sitting in the corner just, like, reading and playing the harp.
Yeah, he could be. He could
but
be.
I could.
You know who else could? Marceline.
Hi, I'm Marceline. I could do something. I don't remember what it was, but I got pronouns. I'm not gonna lie, for my pronouns today, when you refer to me, I want you to like have like a trombone glissando. That's my pronoun for today. I play Bryn, she, her pronouns. I shouldn't say that. Fuck, I'm fucking losing it. I'm stumbling.
You know who else is stumbling? Ellis. I'm sorry, that's what
Hi,
she said.
Hi, I'm Ellis. I use they, them pronouns. I will be portraying Thorn and Eldoris, who use he, him, and she, her pronouns, respectively. I stumble.
No.
To be fair, I got like a lot of mucus, and I was going to say I got goop in my throat, and I think that was, I don't think that was the right thing to say.
And then the wave.
Our camera fades in on Eldoris. You were flying high over the tree line of this small island off the coast of Espinora, desperately searching for any sign of your dearest friend, Thorin, and your other companions from the Bois Perdu, flying from the devastation that was happening on the coast with the Navy. As you are nearing the center of the island where you presume Thorin and the rest of them had gone, because that's kind of what they said that they were going to do, you see a light shining in the distance through a break in the trees. And as you climb higher to get a better view of it, you see just ahead is a clearing in the forest where a lake and a river can be seen. And a light shining brightly, glinting like a star. The sky seems to darken in a way. It was midday, or you're pretty sure it was, but the sky goes gray, almost as if all of the clouds expand, blocking out the sun, until only the glinting light from up ahead illuminates this area. And then at once, spreading out from this glinting light is this bluish, teal, and purple starry expanse in a sphere growing from this light, spreading out from this clearing and then overtaking the tree line and a bit of the forest and part of the mountain, creating a dome of light and stars like a planetarium, constellations glowing. And as you get near, seeing through a little bit of the starlight sphere, you see down below are all of your friends, or some of them at least. You see Felix leaning against the opening of a cave wall down below, holding his side. You see a strange figure, a large and horned with three arms, standing nearby, and you see Bryn holding a crossbow, pointing at where the light is spreading, and you see lots of navy here. And you see Thorin, having just broken the surface of the lake, holding in his arms this large black rock, surrounded by a cloud of moving black shadowy figures. And amongst all of them, you see figures, a lightish blue, ethereal even, moving quickly in strange mechanical motions in reverse. You see time play out here. You see trees dying and growing. You see ripples on the lake receding to the various parts of their origin. You see people make their way back and forth playing by the lake. You see more people with siege weapons. And you see a dragon about as high as you are, not taking notice of your presence, but these strange figures of starlight playing out their time in reverse. And then you see Bryn reaching her hand up to the sky, and these once ethereal things become very material. And then at once you hear the crashing of wood as the dragon lands on one of the ballistas, knocking it aside. Another one having fired, their timing being completely off due to the people here being distracted by their sudden materialization in this world. And it misses, flying right past you. You're able to dodge out of the way of it, no problem. You see it, and you weren't necessarily its target. And you see this dragon roar. What's going on in your mind right now?
First, she was just looking for them, but now she is looking for who is about to hurt one of her family. And she is trying to figure out whose throat she's going to swoop in on.
Okay. I think as you are flying in, you see all of the Navy here intermixed with all of these almost like commonly dressed people. They look like hunters dressed in like thick, like leather, like pants, and like all of them with like ropes and nets and spears and all of these like different traps that are being knocked aside as this dragon kind of parades around here. You see, as you're flying down, you see, again, you see Felix by the cave, as well as Bryn. And I think as you're getting closer, you see Avery standing out there as well. Right now, the primary danger seems to potentially be this dragon. Thorin is in the water. He seems a little worse for wear. But I think in this moment, the people here who would normally be, you know, you would clock as like, this person is a threat that, you know, needs to be dealt with. I think either incapacitated or have turned their eyes to this dragon and don't seem like a current active threat. Now, there amongst the Navy, you do recognize some faces. You recognize the face of Captain Gabriella, who was the naval captain that you all met back at Paraiso and Contrado. And you probably recognize there is her lieutenant is here as well. Amongst the other naval officers, you probably would have also seen him at the fight and like kind of recognized by the symbols and regalia that, you know, he was in a higher station than some of the others. But Captain Gabriella is currently kind of knocked on her ass a little bit. And you see she also has a wound. There's a crossbow bolt in her shoulder. And the lieutenant is standing near some of the naval officers that are like over by the lake, a little bit a ways, like on the other side of where the dragon landed. That's kind of your initial beat of this place.
I think she sees that everyone from her perspective is distracted by this dragon and sees Gabriella whip in hand, out of breath, narrows her eyes and dives down to slice her throat open.
Jesus Christ!
And she's just panting.
Okay. All right, Eldoris, give me a strike or shoot. Roll plus blood. What would her blood be?
Would she be suffering from Thorin's weakness as well? Because that affects my blood roll.
Yeah. Would she be? I guess I will leave this up to you because I can see a potential here where it does seem like she is also pretty exhausted having just like flown here and also like emotional exhaustion as well. I think if we want to use Thorin's stats here for Eldoris, I think it only makes sense for at the very least this one. If it was a different weakness, like if it was like concussed, I wouldn't say this.
Yeah.
But I think because it's specifically exhausted and narratively that feels about where Eldoris is as well. I would probably rule on, yeah, that she is also suffering from this exhaustion.
Okay. But I also get Thorin's plus one in blood.
Yeah, so you get that plus one. Plus any luck if you want to spend it.
That's an 8.
Ooh, okay, yeah. On a 7 to 8, or sorry, on a 7 to 9, you stumble, trade blows, or put yourself in a bad position. Your choice.
This comes to the next question.
Yeah.
How do we want to do Eldoris's hit points? Is it connected to Thorin's and that's just one link? Or?
This is a good question.
How would you stumble be different from
being put in a bad situation?
I was going to ask that, but I already figured it out. I feel like it would either be trade blows or put yourself in a bad position. But if it's trade blows, then that's why I asked.
Then, yeah, how the hit points work. Let's see. I think it would only make sense to treat Eldoris's hit points like I would an NPC's. So I think it would make sense. We will say that Eldoris has 4 hit points.
Okay.
She can take up to 4 harm. To let you know the damage here, if Captain Gabriella hits you, you will take 2 harm if you trade blows. So half of your health would be gone.
then I think I'm going to put myself in a bad position. I'm going to execute the move perfectly, but it just kind of puts me down in the thick of it. And then at least I have a chance to miss whatever's coming.
Yeah. And I think you and I had said that you would be dealing one harm, if I remember correctly, as Eldoris.
Okay.
Describe what this looks like as Eldoris flies down and slits the throat of Gabriella.
Is this going to kill her?
Yes, this would kill her. Yeah, she Ooh. Only had one harm left.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was it was her last hit point.
While everyone is fully distracted by this dragon and what's going to happen next and just this kind of utter peril about, what everyone fails to notice is a small black speck slowly getting closer and closer to the ground, almost like an arrow. She swoops down, and a flash of this blue-black goes across Gabriella's face, and we just see blood squirt out of Gabriella's throat. She stares only for a few moments forward and then falls down dead. And then she's put in a bad position. What is that?
I think... What is the bad position
here? And everyone sees what has just happened. That is what I will also say. Yeah. I think her blood sprays people across the face.
Yippee!
Yippee! It was a good bad position to put you in.
Bird up.
God, fuck. What's a bad position I can put you in?
Fun thing is she's gonna fly, so do your worst.
Yeah, God, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of vectors to put you in a bad position here. Not you specifically. I could put other people in a bad position easily.
That could put her in a bad position, like people she loves could be put in a bad position.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Okay. I like where this is going. Put other people in danger to put Alice in a bad position. Awesome.
Yippee. That's normally what happens to me.
Avery and Bryn, the two of you, and like hear this of the ripping of flesh and the splattering of blood. And in the moment that you like kind of like recognize it, and Avery, it splatters across your face. The two of you turn to see Gabriella hit her knees, blood splurting out as her hand goes to cover the wound of her neck, and she falls flat to the ground on her face. Eldoris, you swing around, Gabriella's blood coating half of your face, matting down your feathers. You turn, and as I think you and Bryn lock eyes in this moment, Bryn, you feel the pull, and you hear the dong of a cathedral bell, and you all see as the water from the lake begins to slowly roll itself out like a viscous fluid, almost like a watery slime, pull itself slowly out of the lake, hands and hands coming out and pulling it as the mass of liquid is slowly making its way out. It keeps having to form a new hand to reach out, grab in front of it, and pull its liquidy mass forward. And it's doing that in the direction of you, Bryn, and you, Avery.
Excuse me? What the fuck? I wanted to reestablish that it's this weird, like, slime creature that's coming out of the lake.
Yeah, it's I'm using slime to kind of describe its like viscosity. It is not literally a slime. It is literally the water. But like imagine like that kind of like texture. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what's coming out. What do you do?
I scream and I shit my pants.
That's very valid.
I'm gonna be real. I think Bryn is kind of just gassed, like just in awe of watching the spectacle of the orb cracking and all of this like time unraveling. I think Bryn is kind of awestruck and caught up in the moment. I think a lot is going on in Bryn's mind, and I don't think Bryn particularly pays attention to what's in front of her.
Has the wave of ants with Thorin and the egg, have those all come up out of the water?
Yes, at this point? Thorin is holding the egg. He is bobbing on the top of the water, and the ants are, like, still in the water, just kind of waiting to, like, for a new instruction. And then all of the fireflies are still floating around this place as well.
Okay.
And there's also the water thing coming.
Yeah. So I would really love to invent some bugs right now.
You'd love to invent some bugs right now?
I'd love to invent some bugs right now.
Okay. Is this Avery inventing bugs, or is this you, Hilda, inventing bugs that already exist in this world?
This is me, Hilda, inventing bugs that probably already exist.
Okay, in the world.
I mean, unless, I guess Avery could make a bug.
If Avery can envision it, it could probably make it. I don't know the consequences of that. I feel like there is probably like a, like, I could probably make a consequence of, like, if you do this wrong, this thing does exist now. And yeah, maybe exactly. Is a little worse than you thought it was going to be.
Well, then me, Hilda, would like to make a bug that Avery is turning all of these ants into. And I'd like them to be, like, imagine little, like, pufferfish. They're, like, little cactus pufferfish. And what they do is they just soak up as much water as they can. Like, they bloat with water.
Oh.
And, like, store it for long periods of time to get them through. They usually live in, like, desert regions.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to have a whole swarm of them kind of come up and try to, like, invade this water to, like, tear it apart, basically, and, like, soak it all up.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I kind of like that. All right. Yeah.
Like a bunch of those little sponge, like the pills that you'd put in the water.
Yeah.
And the little sponge animals come out. Yeah. Just a bunch of those.
I kind
of
fuck with that. Okay. Yeah. That's super cool. All right. Give me I guess this is a strike or shoot roll as you're trying to use these bugs to damage this water creature by absorbing it. God, that's cool. Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Roll plus blood. Or I guess you can roll plus your spitfire as well if that's better for you, because you're like kind of using magic to do it. So I would say you can roll plus spitfire.
Plus spitfire? Okay, thank you. Sweet, that's 10.
Ooh, all right. On a 10 plus, the fate may give you a special opportunity, but you'll invite risk. Okay. With this thing being magic, it almost like specifically made to do this. I'll say it does 2 harm to this like kind of water construct or water elemental. The special opportunity I will give you, I think while you were doing this, you also noticed that, you know, Thorin is like floating on like the lake right now, but it's like not necessarily like doing great, right? But you also have all your ants there. So I think you realize that you have the opportunity, if you wanted to, transform those ants also into like the same kind of bug to kind of make like a flotation thing here, right?
Device.
Yeah. I think the risk here though is, Avery, you've been doing a lot of this, this very new thing that you have done. And as you are playing this music, I mean, you feel yourself almost kind of entranced and like hyper fixated on its notes, to the point where a lot of your playing feels not necessarily instinctual, like instinctual in the way that you don't have to think about it, but not instinctual in the way where it feels like it comes from experience, rather that it is something that is being compelled right out of you.
Mm.
It's coming a little too naturally. And I think the risk you are inviting here is I think you start to feel a pull on some part of yourself. Not like physically, like, oh, I'm about to be pulled into this harp, but you feel like there's some part of you that is being influenced in some way by this harp, and continuing to use it like in the way you are, like kind of like reckless abandon. I'll just turn this thing into this thing and move it here and have it do this and have it do this complex set of actions and then turn into this thing, is taking a lot out of you, and you are risking losing yourself in some way.
Okay.
I will say, if you choose to do this, Thorin is at no risk of drowning. Like, Thorin is not going to drown right here and now, you know? It's not going to heal him. He's still in pretty bad shape, but yeah, he but doesn't have drowning. To. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll absolutely do that.
Okay.
I want to make sure that Thorin doesn't drown. I want us all to get out of here.
Okay. Describe what this scene looks like to me as this happens.
Yeah. So this scary armed viscous water. Yeah. Starts crawling towards Bryn and I, and that wave of ants is just like coming up out of the water, and you see it split and half of it just like comes up and like sweeps through that water hand monster. Mm-hmm. And you see them like transform. You can't really see what they turn into while they're in that water. Mm-hmm. But they get slightly smaller and just like compact, and suddenly you just see them start to like expand, and they look almost like, it's like how you put chia seeds into water and then they just like expand and become like these jelly orbs almost. Mm-hmm. And you see them all like expand and like take in this water, almost like shielding anything that they can't soak up into like a wall of this these bugs. And, you know, if you were to look behind at the other half of the ants that were back there, they have done the same thing, but into, like, a little pallet, almost, that Thorin and the egg are now floating on.
Amazing. Yeah, Thorin, you feel as the dark, shadowy, like, form beneath you begins to change and bloat, and then you find yourself being slowly pushed up from below the water until you find yourself from this weird kind of inflatable bug raft of, like, you see all of these insects that have, for one reason or another, like, coalesce themselves into a shape beneath you. And I think as you do that, as you play this song, your fingers a blur on its strings, you feel your mind being tugged, and you feel as you are playing this instrument, your mind begin to become a blur, beginning to become just the music. You are becoming encapsulated in it, and you feel as if something is trying to pull at the seams of your edges and morph your body into something else. You can feel just the light tugging at the edges of your body, at your skin being tugged almost inwards, and your bones being kind of pulled and stretched. Do you want to stand your ground?
I would really like to, yeah.
Okay.
Don't like that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Don't like that at all.
I thought you wouldn't. who are you spending bond with to stand your ground?
I'd like to spend bond with Thorin. Because that's who I'm trying to save. Kind of save mostly at that moment. I mean, I'm trying to save Bryn as well, but
yeah,
mostly Thorin.
Okay. Roll plus one.
I have two bond with Thorin, actually.
Oh, you have two bond? Okay, awesome. So yeah, you can spend both of those and roll plus two.
That's a 12.
Yo, okay, all right. Well, on a hit, you've escaped your vices. So how does Avery respond to this feeling?
I think when I'm, you know, lost in that music and that feeling, when I start to feel something of myself that is no longer me, I think that's like enough to basically snap me out of anything else. I'm going to be immediately on guard with something that is trying to change me.
Yeah.
Because that is like the last thing that Avery ever wants is to be changed by things. He wants to be in control of himself and his destiny, his ideas, his, you know, everything. So I think feeling that, you know, that tug and that that intent to mold or change, like that insidious idea slipping in there, that's, he's going to look over at, you know, at Thorin, who he's trying to save, see Bryn next to him, that they're just both in such bad shape.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever I'm going to be molded into is not what is necessary right now. I need to stay me in order to save the people I care about.
Yeah. I think as you have this moment of, like, whatever the opposite of ego death is, where you become fully assured of who you are, what you want, and where you want to go. And I think there's a part of the hum that is always around you, that is always here. I think in that moment, what was once a cacophony of sound and feeling becomes harmonious.
I think that becomes almost the tether.
Yeah.
Like in that moment of like focusing in on something that was starting to become like quintessential to Avery's experience is like focusing in on that hum rather than the music.
Yeah. And through the focusing in on this hum and the almost oneness that you feel with it in this moment as it reverberates through you with this feeling of bliss and harmony and self-assuredness and confidence, you rebuff this effect. You know still that it would be dangerous to potentially continue at the rate that you are, but in this moment, whatever influence it tried to have on you, you have successfully prevented.
I think there's just a change in Avery's air as well. Like, he's always been a little bit apologetic about his being around these people, and I think, like, that air of apology is gone.
Yeah.
He is here. He's going to help. He's going to do what he can.
Amazing. Felix, you are lying here on the ground, bleeding pretty profusely with a bubbly, briny poison deep in your chest wound. Not too far away from you is Katarina, who is holding slowly bleeding out Captain Hanno. In front of you, Bryn is staring at a glowing light in the sky that she seems to have created. There is a dragon outside making a mess of the Navy and the poachers and their weapons of war outside. Avery is commanding a lot of bugs that destroyed a water monster arm thing that was slowly crawling for you just a moment ago. And Captain Gabriella's throat got slit by Eldoris, whom you saw fly by. So how are you doing? You're bleeding out here. Things aren't great.
Yeah, things are not great. I think the first thing he's going to do is kind of crawl over to where Hanno and Katarina are.
Okay. Yeah. You're able to do that. You slowly make your way over to the other side of the tunnel wall, where I almost forgot that Aviva is also in here with all of you, who is watching in awe at, I think her eyes are probably just stuck on Bryn in this moment, actually, watching in awe as Bryn stares at the sky. So you crawl over to where Katarina and Captain Hanno are. Katarina looks down at you and says, "What the fuck happened?"
A lot.
Oh, yeah, all right. That's, I couldn't have got that, but, oh, shite. And she's just like you, checking to make sure that, you know, Captain Hanno's still breathing or conscious. And Captain Hanno's like eyes barely open at this point. You see she's fading fast.
Yeah. Okay, shit. All right, yeah. All right. Felix says to Katarina, "I'm going to do what I can. You need to get the captain to safety."
Where's safety? Back in the cave?
For now, yeah.
Fuck. What are you going to do in the state you're in? If I leave you, you're just as likely to die.
Felix doesn't say anything, and he's going to use magic.
Okay. Dark magician.
I am spending 2 luck.
Okay, roll plus Spitfire.
That's a 10.
All right, on a 10 plus, you can choose which of those moves or which of those powers.
I am choosing the second one there. For a scene, you can create chaotic fireballs and infernos in the air around you.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay. Describe.
This one looks different because he's okay. done this before.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is when he had to take the form of fiery bats.
Yeah.
But this is different. I think what it is closer to is he takes a deep breath and just exhales. And when he exhales, a bunch of just little tiny orbs of light, of burning light come out of his mouth, and they grow into just like kind of like tiny miniature suns.
Okay. Yes.
And they start swirling around the three of them, around Felix, Katarina, and Hanno.
Okay.
Just creating sort of a swarm. And then, if you will allow me to do this.
Yeah.
Felix reaches out and grabs one.
Okay. Sure. What is it? What's your goal here? What are you trying to do?
So right now, Felix and Hanno both have pretty grievous wounds, and he is going to cauterize them.
You little stinker. Okay. Sure. Yeah. You can attempt this. I'll let you attempt this.
Cool.
What move am I gonna make this? I think I'll just make this a vinegar roll.
A vinegar roll?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have negative to that, so that's good.
Hey, rolling flat's better than rolling negative.
Yeah. Let's hope for a good number. That's a 9.
Okay, 7 to 9, make success. Okay, yeah, on the 7 to 9, I'll give it to you. You've cauterized her wounds. She is no longer bleeding, so that's good. There's still lots of internal damage that needs to be figured out at one point or another.
Yep.
But you don't have to worry about her bleeding out, so that's good. The mixed success here is that I'm going to give you a weakness.
Okay.
And that weakness is going to be bedeviled.
Okay.
When you're bedeviled, you are compelled, when your demon feels or desires something, that you feel or desire the same. And the way to cure this is a hard-won moment of humanity. And I think what happens here is, as you are taking this miniature sun and you are trying to cauterize your and Captain Hanno's wounds, you hear his voice seep in.
Well, for you. Pretty resourceful of you, if I may say.
I know.
Seem to be in a bit of a pickle, all of you. Need any assistance? Oh, come on, boy. When have I ever let you down? Every pickle you've been in, I've managed to find you a way out.
Felix, I think despite, like, closing his, you know, his wound...
Mm-hmm.
He's in a great deal of pain, and he struggles, but he gets to his feet, and while just sort of assessing the situation that is around him still, he says to Damian, "You and I should have a conversation."
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe not now, but, well, I don't know. Maybe now.
I'm listening.
I've seen your work. You do a pretty good job.
Thank you. It's good to be recognized for one's talent every now and again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice to utilize your services now and again. I won't lie. And we've always had this exchange between us. You ask something of me, and I... get what I want in return. So what happens if I say no?
What happens if you say no?
Yeah.
Well, if you were to break one's word, for one, you'd be a pretty bad pirate. For two, I would never, and I truly do mean never, rest until I made sure every waking moment of your life, your very pitiful existence, was a nightmare from which you would never wake. But assuming you did wake at one point or another, having broken your word with me, the spirit of my standard, I believe the many-armed god would have a word with you. God of contracts don't like it when people go breaking their words.
Yeah, well, what if I propose an alternate arrangement?
What kind of alternate arrangement?
I intend to pay back what I owe you.
The book, you mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we could have a mutually beneficial relationship, but I am no longer interested in servitude. So, as I said, you make a pretty good fake corpse. Who's your deal with? Our deal. Who is it with? Felix takes in the silence, and he says, your deal is with Felix Cormier. I propose that Felix Cormier dies tonight.
Oh, interesting. You want to start anew? Break old ties?
Something like that.
Well,
you've always helped me escape. Now, how about you help me escape one last time?
And what do I get out of this?
Depends. Name your price.
All right. For you to become whomever you would like to be, all I ask is you stay with that spirit. Watch over her. Make sure she doesn't go anywhere. I'm gonna need her eventually.
You've got a deal.
And consider Felix Cormier a dead man.
Damien?
Yes?
I truly mean it when I say it has been an honor.
It has been an honor working with you, Felix. And I hope whomever you become, maybe we'll cross paths again.
If you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
I'd like to perform one last little trick.
A little encore?
Of sorts.
I did always like that you went out with style.
And his voice seeps away.
Oh, ho, ho, it's your host with the most love for milk and cookies, Santa Harry, from 2048 AM, Voices in the Wood, and I hope you've been a very good little boy and or girl. If you've been naughty, I'll know. Okay, sorry, I could keep that up. Some middle schooler was telling us this story about some old guy from the, you know, the outside world called Santa that apparently watches over everyone all year, then gives them gifts at the end of it if they were good, and coal if they were bad or something. He's got like elves that make it's kind of crazy. It's wow. Like, imagine that. Imagine living in a world where it was normal, where there was some guy who doesn't really know you deciding if you deserved, like, a gift or coal or whatever. Or, like, what if his gift is bad? You know, I prefer the gift to choose what I'm gonna buy. I love a gift card, and actually, don't tell Reggie this, but I'm getting him a Hero Forge gift card. Yeah, he doesn't know, but he wasn't able to get a miniature when the rest of us got one because, you know, he said, like, he's the GM. He doesn't have a character, but I know that he designed his favorite NPC on their website. I mean, they have dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. And the gift card will just let him choose whatever material he wants, or if he even wants it printed at all. Hero Forge also offers digital miniatures and STL files for home printing, which Maggie explained to me after last time.
It also works on their pro subscription. So with the Hero Forge gift card, the power and freedom is in his hand to choose whatever he wants to do. And isn't that a gift we all deserve? If you want to know more, go to heroforge.com to do just that. It's probably time to get on with the show, so let's see. Next up, we have Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Reggie, put it on.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bittertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitterton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitterton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We're going to cut very quickly over to Thorin. Hey, Thorin.
Uh-huh.
You're floating on this thing. You've got an egg. There's a dragon not too far away who's really wrecking the shit out of some poachers and also the Navy, who seem to have been kind of caught up in that in the moment. You possibly very briefly saw the water construct crawling out of the water towards Bryn and Avery. That has basically just now been soaked up by all of those bugs at the same time that you got soaked up. Or not soaked up, but floated up to the top of the water. You see Bryn is kind of floating there staring at the light in the sky. I don't know if you've clocked Eldoris, because I think she's just in the air and it's pretty dim here. So I don't know if you've clocked her just yet. But that's kind of how things are going in this moment.
Does this seem like a situation where if enough leaders are taken out that people will retreat?
I think you probably are seeing some people starting to retreat in this moment. Less so the poachers, more so the Navy. I think you see them trying to run to the edges of where this dark starlit sphere dome is, trying to get away from this dragon, some of them getting pulled back into that fight as this large frost dragon is breathing icy breath, freezing people where they stand, whipping at them with their tail, breaking, shattering them into pieces. There are people currently in the process of trying to run away.
I'd like to strike or shoot the dragon, basically to I want to get a wing of the Union Navy turned to ice.
Okay, so you're trying to get the dragon's attention so that it starts attacking a different group of people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. We could make that. Okay. What is your plan on getting the dragon's attention?
I would like for Thorin to flip over on this bug raft, and I want the golden essence from his tattoo to shoot up at the dragon and kind of hit its face in a sense that will push it into where I see Union Navy coming towards. I could also, what this could also be if I'm just using my ink move, period.
Gotcha.
We said that was breaking in or out. I would like to take this dragon with me and break in to the Navy's whole shit. I'm thinking the hands.
Yeah. That's an interesting framing of that.
And if we have to break in or out together, the hands could even shoot up. Ooh, what if I do break out with it? What if the golden hand shoot up, I grab the dragon, get on its back, and then try to wield it in such a way that I freeze a bunch of the Union Navy to death? Can I do that? I'd like to do that.
Thorin Dragon Rider.
I will let you use the arms to grab the dragon, to pull yourself up onto the dragon. I will save if you, in this same movement, freeze some Navy people if you roll 10 plus for this. Otherwise, you will be on the back of the dragon, and then a different move, you can try to use the dragon to do this thing. Okay, yeah, go for it. Roll plus blood, bud, to break in or out.
That's 7.
Okay. On a 7 to 9, on a hit, you've gotten in or out, so right. This will let you get onto the back of this dragon. On a 7 to 9, I get to choose one as well. You suffer harm or weakness. You hop from the frying pan into the fire. You lose track of something important. You leave evidence or attract attention. I mean, hop from the frying pan into the fire feels pretty accurate in this moment. I could also see
the attention seems pretty accurate.
Yeah. I can see for attention. I can also in this moment see giving you the weakness bloodthirsty, because this is pretty fucked up thing that you're trying to do here, which is cool. Makes sense. Totally. But I think in this moment, we're seeing Thorin in a bit more of a aggressive role than I think we've seen him before. So I'm going to give you bloodthirsty. I'm going to give you the weakness bloodthirsty. How is Thorin feeling also as you reach out with these ethereal golden hands, grabbing on the back of this shining white dragon as it's clawing down on these poachers that were trying to kill it, and bringing yourself on the back, the only person in probably a very long time that could probably use the term dragon rider, as like what you're doing is, in many senses of the word, heretical, and super fucked for a certain group of people, as you're riding the back of their god. But what is going on through Thorin's mind as this is happening?
Thorin knows that he is very, very wounded, and they are very, very fucked. And he's just fucking pissed. He wants all of these people who are trying to hurt the people he loves to die. He wants them to be gone. And experiencing what he experienced underwater and with his son, and then coming up on a bed of bugs, to then be placed on a different bed of bugs, to then look up and see a dragon. I think, especially also after having just been literally pulled down to the depths and be drowned, I think there's also a knee-jerk, that big motherfucker is in the air, and I will not be dragged down again. And in that thought, just in a second, these golden arms extend like lightning from his stomach and just immediately pulls him atop of this dragon, where he affixes himself with on the back of its neck, trying to clasp two horns to, at the next possible moment, steer its head towards those that carry his bloodlust.
Okay. Give me a strike or shoot.
Okay.
If you have any luck, you can spend luck. If somebody wants to help, they can spend bond.
I think I've spent all my bond with you. Otherwise, I would.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have one bond with Eldoris. Could she fly up, seeing this happen and knowing it was me, fly up?
Yeah.
Steady, and just kind of seeing her, it steadies me and steadies my aim. And then I will also use one luck, and that will bring me to a 7.
Okay. Awesome. On a 7 to 9, you hit. You either stumble, trade blows, or put yourself in a bad position. Your choice.
I know what he would do. Trade blows.
Okay, so what happens here is you grab the horns of this dragon and you, shift your weight, pulling it alongside you. It starts howling in anger and frustration at this pitiful creature that dare ride upon its back. To dare even touch a dragon lord deserves a fate that is truly worse than death. It is trying to shake you off, roaring in frustration. It breathes out this cone of icy wind. And you steer it in the direction of a group of the Navy where Captain Gabriella's lieutenant was amongst them, trying to call them all back as they're trying to run away. And the wind blows over them. And in a moment, they're frosted, unmoving statues of ice. And you are still on the back of this as it is whipping around, angry, frustrated. And you are tossed into the air and are tossed and thrown aside, landing on the bank of the lake rather than in it. But you're kind of thrown, tossed off towards the forest, kind of in the direction of where the cave is, but still quite a ways off.
How much harm do I take?
You will take 1 harm for that. Well, Bryn, all of this is happening around you. This chaos of people, of light and sound and blood and carnage.
And bugs.
No, that's the worst part.
What do you do? A lot of choices.
Not all of them are good ones.
No, not at all.
I think Bryn looks back, looking to find Hanno, to which she doesn't. Katarina's probably taking her back into the cave a bit more.
As you are turning, as you turn around to see Captain Hanno, you see she is lying in the cave with Katarina as Felix is just finishing cauterizing her. But she looks bad. Everything drenched in blood. Her eyes rolled to the back of her head, barely conscious. I don't know if you can tell if there is the movement of breathing from her, from where you are.
Bryn looks over to Hanno and then looks, glancing over Avery, and then looks to make eye contact with Aviva. And I think as each person gets a glance at Bryn's face, her eyes aren't glowing. The sockets almost go through her head. You can see everything on the other side. Her eyes are empty. And then she makes eye contact with Aviva.
Sister, what have I done?
I do not know, sister, your power.
And you see Aviva is looking at you in amazement and fear isn't the word. It is almost as if it is the face of realization of something, but something that you didn't think that you have you ever had a question in your life that you never got an answer to, and then years later something comes up and you're oh, I remember trying to I remember thinking about that or wanting to know what that thing was, and now I finally know what it was, but it was a thing. This might be a very specific thing that I'm talking about. I don't know if this is a relatable experience, but it is this realization of almost truly seeing you for the first time, as if she's recognized you in some way. And she goes,
"You? No, it couldn't be. Are you? Her? No. No."
And there's like this confusion and like frustration that comes over her. And she takes a step, like a very cautious step forward towards you.
And I'm still on top of like the floaties, right? Like on top of the water. Or did they never make it to me?
Yeah, no, they didn't make it to you because Avery stopped them. So you were just here floating out by the front of the cave.
I'm not sure who you speak of. I've been many people, Aviva.
You were the one who gave it to us.
She takes another step forward.
I've given you nothing. I've only taken.
No, not you. You are the one who gave us the egg. I remember that day like it was yesterday. The day we came here. The day we saw you. The day you gave us the most precious of gifts. Told us to protect.
Sister, I'm scared. I feel myself fading. I've lost my sight. The hum. I don't hear it as clear. Or at least not. It's everywhere.
Sister.
More so than ever.
Sister.
And, she takes another step closer to you within arm's reach and like goes to like take both arms to hold the side of yours. And again, you feel the warmth of her touch as she looks at you with bandaged eyes and goes,
"Your sight is merely a distraction, an illusion. This world is an illusion, a complex web of people and lives and stories. All ephemeral, dust in the wind. There is only one truth, the hum."
There's one thing I feared most, and I've stayed away for a long time. But if there's a time, it's now.
And I'm gonna reach into my kit. Apparently in my kit, I have an ancient book, parentheses dangerous, on the secrets of the star gods.
Okay.
Parentheses dangerous. That's the name.
Okay.
Marceline, what is this? Dangerous.
Dangerous.
True.
Hold on. Give me one second. Did I write notes on what this book was when we did our session zero?
It's just in there. Just in my kit, man. Just there. I don't know, man. I'm holding it for a friend.
All right. Calm down. Okay. I don't know. I don't have it. I don't have the book. So what is it?
I don't fucking know, dude. We're fucking gonna, we're by the seat of our pants today.
Okay, we're gonna figure it out right here, right now. What's this book? What? It's dangerous. This book is dangerous. Got it. What is this book? This is the book you died with.
I don't even know if that's true. I don't even know if I died with it.
Okay. Did you get it?
Well, maybe I did.
Maybe.
I think that this book is full of secrets that Bryn wrote herself. At the peak of Bryn's disentanglement with the reality, and at the peak of Bryn's connection to the Celestials, Bryn wrote this book, not necessarily in words, but in a mess of sigils and emotions and splatters and trinkets that are mashed inside of it and pages that are ripped and tattered in ways. It is a book that connects Bryn to a piece of herself that she's been afraid to look at for a very long time.
Okay. So you've got this book.
Yeah. Fucking, I think Bryn takes out the vial of Leviathan blood in the kit, drinks it, and whatever blood is remaining, uses that to mimic the sigils on the ground beneath her that are in the book.
Okay.
I think offers some of the Leviathan blood to Aviva.
Yeah. Aviva will do it. She will take the vial. The black hand reaches out, takes the vial, and brings it to her lips, and she drinks what remains of the vial as you reach down and begin drawing these sigils.
I do want to say, can I flavor change? I have an enormous star chart in my kit, too. We roll that bitch out, and we're writing the sigils on that.
Okay.
Like connecting constellations with these sigils, invoking like almost like calling to the stars through these sigils, binding them together in their constellations that they represent. as like a call and a plea to each constellation.
Very cool. I love it. I love it. What's it do?
I don't know. We're going to find out. What does it do?
Yeah. Come on. Is there a move you're trying to do, or is there an effect that you're trying to get at? Or
yeah. I think similarly to the way Bryn entered that state on the ship in the solo episode, It is doing that, but on a grander scale. Not just binding herself to all, her past, but binding herself to all pasts and all futures. And, in a desperate attempt to basically, it is like the fucking, what's the phrase? Like, boots to Jesus type moment where it's like, what?
Hello? Boots to, it's just not a thing I've heard of.
Ah, fuck, what am I thinking of? There's a phrase I'm looking for.
I have no idea.
Never mind. Don't worry about it. There's a phrase I'm looking for.
Okay.
That's not it. Okay. But a desperate plea of anything, calling out to the universe, please help me. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to do. Someone greater than me has to know.
So you're given the keys to Kendrick. That's what I'm hearing. In a good way.
I think that the keys are to Kendrick in that we are opening a big fucking door.
Yeah.
I don't know what's back there.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know more than I do what's behind that door.
Yeah, I think I know.
I'm trying to open that door and I'm trying to bring my sister with me.
You were trying to open the door to the next phase of what Brandy could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I know that's kind of vague and kind of a lot of things happening.
You're good.
But I saw a lot of items and I said, that seems fun.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just... Okay, here's what I think happens. You and Aviva begin drawing these sigils on the star chart map. They are glowing with the faint, inky, dark glow of this Leviathan blood that the two of you have just ingested. And I think as you do this, you begin to feel all of the voices begin to swell in your mind. All of the yous from the past, the potential presence that could have been, and the potential futures that exist out ahead of you. And I believe you begin to feel all of these different waves, all of these different strands of yourself. And as you draw line by line on this star chart, connecting these stars in strange new constellations, you feel all of those different threads begin to be pulled towards you. All these various directions being coalesced into a single moment of past, present, and potential. And you feel this strange oneness with yourself becoming in this moment. Well, that depends what you become in this moment. Roll plus Spitfire for me.
Oh, Christ. So we break out the big boy dice.
Break out the big boy dice.
That's a motherfucking 12. 30-12, but a 12 nonetheless.
Okay. I think it is only appropriate that I give you a choice then.
That's all right. Cool.
In this moment, as all of these different versions of you, all of these different experiences, different paths, as you truly become possibly omniscient in a way of your own existence, in every possible way that you could exist, in every possible way you did exist, in every possible way you will exist. And in this moment, you get to choose. As you have all of your possibilities laid out in front of you, I think the threads that pulled to you the most in this moment, as you make this choice, the things that feel the closest to the reality you were already living in, this version of you that is... You can choose in this moment to bring all of these experiences, all of this knowledge, all of this, all of the people and person that you have been and could be and have been. You can bring all of that experience to you, with you, for you to have, to be able to call upon at any moment. You will be focusing it in a way where the voices are no longer just always there, but will only come when you want them to. That is one version of yourself.
Okay.
There is another version of yourself where you see in the entirety of your existence, and by entirety I mean in all realities, a great deal of suffering. You see back into your past versions of yourselves with your current knowledge, your current wisdom, and are able to deduce things that you couldn't have before. The way people treated you, the truth of the celestialists, the stories you told yourself, the man who came to your town to talk to your parents to discuss your problem before you learned about the celestialist, before you were sent out on that ship, before you became this. And you see a lot of yourselves going through a great deal of pain and suffering because of it. And even in the versions of yourselves where he never came, still much suffering. Accidental most of the time. People hurt. People gone missing. Buildings destroyed. Lives changed irreparably due to things you could not have known and had no control over. There is a version of you where there is no pain. There is a version of you where those things don't happen, because they can't happen if you're not there. There is a version of yourself that goes back, that sheds this ethereal form, sheds this power, these abilities, the sense, and shoves it down deep, buried, and you have a body again. You have flesh, and you can hug people, you can run, you can eat, you can drink, you can smell the flowers again, taste the salts on the air of the ocean again. But you will be burying a part of yourself in order to do so. And so you have a decision to make.
My choices are abandon this thing and return back to a physical form and forget and like and abandon and run from this experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's to fully embrace it, to let myself go and to let that person who was in the past be gone, become something anew. And the other one is to toil in the past.
I wouldn't say to toil in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It is accepting it in a way where one can still draw experience from it, but in a way that isn't organic anymore, in a way that is stilted, right? You will have access to all of the same information and conversations and like all those different parts of yourself that you used to, but only when you want to and however much you want to. And that kind of fettering on it in some ways may prevent it from becoming something new, something greater eventually.
God damn, that's a choice, huh?
Yeah, it is. I opened that door. You opened the door, and I'm just telling you what's inside.
Do Zaviva see these choices with me? Do we see, like, do we experience the potentialities together?
Yeah, I think you are. I think this is a thing that is focused on you and your experience. I think this, her aiding in this ritual is more so to, you know, aid you in this ritual, right? She's not doing her own. So yeah, she is. She sees these paths set out in front of you.
Aviva, sister, I'm not sure what's best for me, but what I do know, going back, taking this part out of me like it's a disease or rot,
It sounds nice. It sounds blissful. Peaceful to be back to normal. But I don't think I want to be normal. I see a lot of people who are normal and they're not too happy about it. I've seen the way you toil, the way you seem to have found solace where you are. And I think that's good for you. But I don't know if it's right for me. I've always had these thoughts of grandeur, I suppose, of something beyond the veil, something greater I'm working towards. And, well, if it's another step forward, then what does it matter if it's the wrong one, I guess? I think it's best to tread the unknown than sit idly by and wonder what if.
Sister, I do not know. I have been here. Wait. For you. To come. For your friends to come. And take this day. I did not know the reason. I could not have. But my captain, she had faith in the Lady of Light. The one who gifted us the egg. To you. I do not know if I know the truth anymore. If I know what will keep me steady, I am afraid to take that step.
Me too, sister. But I think we both know is the truth is something you make yourself. And if I'm the Lady of Light, like you say, I best not be a disappointment. And I think that with that, Bryn has kind of made her choice and kind of starts, I don't know, I think coalescing. I think whatever form she is in now starts to kind of warp and change into something new. And as it's happening, sister, it's only been a short while we've known one another. But I've felt great closeness to no one I've felt in a long time. I want you to know, no matter what becomes of me, or what doesn't become of me, I suppose, I'll be around. We of the stars have a tricky way of sticking around, huh?
Sister, I feel like I hope whatever decision you make is one that feels right. But I don't believe that there's a way that it couldn't, because it is the choice you made.
For a long time, I thought a lot of my choices were the wrong ones. But I think you're right. I think I've made all the right choices all along. And I think as that happens, like, I think whatever form Bryn is taking, whatever is happening, I think that process kind of is in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the same way that, like, whenever we had Bryn's meditation, and Bryn was like melding with the sky, I think that happens fully in Bryn's form, melds with this, like, the cluster of stars and galaxies and nebulas that are around us, and they kind of warp and shift and move around. I think that they form similar to seeing the teal and fuchsia figures. Aviva watches as, like, several lifetimes of Bryn kind of play out fully and hears voices calling out to her from that cluster, just speaking to her and trying to call out to her, or in tears or in laughter and joy. And I think in a moment it goes silent. And Aviva finds herself back where the star chart was and where they were on the ground outside the cave. And I think where she felt Bryn's body before is no longer there.
What a great episode, Gary. Wild. This session kind of nutso. Lots of stuff going on. A lot of people coming into their own this session, I feel.
Yeah.
So I was like, Bryn dead, or like, what's the deal?
We'll figure that out, I guess.
Remains to be seen.
I'm not going to lie. I'm up for the idea. I don't really know.
Okay. Yeah. We'll figure that out, gang. Let's do some end of session question stuff.
No, the answer is no to all three of them.
What? Excuse me? That's certainly not true.
Go ahead, ask me them.
Okay. Did you defeat a major foe?
The Navy was
there. Yeah, don't you look silly. Don't you look silly. Did you defeat a major foe, Thorin?
No, I didn't kill everyone. So no.
You killed a lieutenant and quite a few people.
Fine.
I didn't kill everybody. There's a couple of soldiers still running for their lives.
Eldor's killed Captain Gabriella.
Yeah, that's definitely that's a major foe.
Fine. Yeah, all right.
Fine, I killed a lot of people, I guess.
You might not have accomplished some goals or gained significant treasure, but you did kill a lot of people this session.
Right.
So you get some mark one experience, add one rank with someone, or clear all of your weaknesses.
Yeah, mark one experience.
Yep. All right. Felix, did you defeat a major foe?
No.
Treasure?
No.
Character goal?
Maybe? I'd say so.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say yes for this one. I think.
Yeah,
it hasn't like fully come to fruition yet.
Yeah, you were at like you have initiated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, dope. Then you get to choose one of those three things as well. Hilda, did you defeat a major foe?
I don't think the water counts.
The water definitely. That was going to be very bad. If that water got to you, that was going to be very bad. I'm going to let you know. That was amazing. Yes, that was going to be very bad if that water got to you. So sick. Gain significant treasure?
I don't know. Did I already count the harp last time?
Yes, you
because
did.
Because I feel like I've... Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Then no.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Self-esteem. Does self-esteem count?
I gained treasure of self-assurance.
And then did you accomplish one of your character's goals?
Kind of. But not... It hasn't come to fruition yet either. Like...
Okay.
Getting people safe. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Well,
I guess no.
Yeah. In either case, you still get to choose one of those three: mark one experience, add one rank, or clear all of your weaknesses. Your choice. Okay. Cool. Bryn, you're maybe dead. So
yeah,
we'll figure that off. Figure that out off mic.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whew, man, this end of season is going to be crazy. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to another wonderful episode of Whispers in the Sea. This has been wild, and I can't wait for the next one, which might finally be our final one.
I'm sorry, you just have things happening.
Some things keep happening, Bryn.
I'm joking.
To be fair. Yeah.
Listen, my storyline's wrapped up.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. So true.
I don't know about that.
We'll see. We will find out.
Especially because Damian specifically told Felix, like, fucking keep whatever.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Felix just goes, okay, yeah, watch out for Bryn. Hey.
Watch out for Bryn literally, like, turns around. I think Bryn is dead. You want anything else, Damian? Like,
look, I literally didn't have anything to do with it. I was busy talking to you.
She just kind of was
planning on following through with this, but...
just like JFK, she just kind of did that.
What?
That's right.
All
right,
hey Gus, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on the internet on Twitter and Instagram at August_Nobby, KNOBBE. Also follow my band Spunk on Instagram. One of our dudes posted some, like, he just like made like a cool ass logo.
Oh,
he just posted it, and it's just it's pretty sick.
I thought it was
cool.
Yeah. Go follow Spunk Band. Listen to the music.
Spunk Band.
And see that logo. Awesome. Hey Hilda, where can people find this podcast on the internet?
You can find us at pretty much anywhere at Tales Yet Told, and come hang out in the Discord as well, which should be in the description of any of those social media platforms.
Yeah.
We have a good time.
We have a good time indeed. Hey, Marcy, where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter, at chippedk9. That's fucking, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, that's fair. You just sounded like the Burger King foot lettuce guy for a moment.
Do you mean Chills?
Sure. I don't know his name.
Bumber 15. Burger King, right. But Bungus.
Okay, all right. Hey, hey, Ellis, where can people find you on the internet?
I don't want people to find me this week. I'll tell you next week. Or go listen to the previous episode.
Go listen to
I'm overstimulated. I'm tired. It's not fair to you. We'll try again next time, but I do love you.
Aww. Well, everybody, I've been Kendrick or Kendo. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Kendo Makes Films. And you can find the actual play live stream, Prayers in the Static, that is tangentially related to it, being the birth child. I birthed it. I birthed it through Tales Yet Told. It's our sci-fi thing. Go check it out over at twitch.tv/namelessdomain. I don't know what days we come out anymore.
Well, it's Pride Month, so hopefully all of them.
Well, no more coming out. We already did it. It's Pride Month. Go follow us on that Twitter and Instagram that held us at earlier at Tales Yet Told to find out more. I think that's it. That's all I got. No. Don't forget to go out, eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself, because self-care is very important. And don't forget to love yourself like we love you. Bye.
We love you.
We love you
so much.
Member of the Rainbow Roll Network. Rainbow Roll.
Our stories, our voices.